You better listen to a sermon by Apostle Aramel Sai. Apostle Aramel Sai is the founder of Remnant Christian Network based in Makati, Benue State, Nigeria. We strive for the rebirth of apostolic Christianity.
Omnipotent God, the rock that the ancients trusted to guide their feet into destiny, we come as a people under your government looking to you for the release of mercy, that you might grant that through the enablement of your grace, we might find that path that you have ordained for your people in this season and in this perilous locality, that you will rise from within us. We present ourselves before you as we ask that you wash our eyes with eyesight that we might see, that you make your people in this land more one with each other, so that we can corporately wage a more definitive warfare against the dominion of darkness. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll continue from where we stopped yesterday. You can salute the person close to you and welcome the person to the house of God. From the feedback I got, it seems our Bible study was quite technical. So we're going to take time to review what we did and then make progress. We have 50 minutes for Bible study. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. The verse of emphasis being verse 20, which is an attempt that Jesus made to give us interpretation to the metaphors that was used in communicating spirit language to our brother John on the Isle of Patmos. The communication was pregnant with truth, pregnant with reality. And Jesus himself decided to give us perspective on concerning few of the metaphors that were used in the communication. And the entire theme of the conference is predicated on the use of that metaphor and the implication of its use. In Revelation chapter 1 verse 20, the Bible says the mystery of the seven stars. I need to establish what the stars are, what the lampstands are. Very critical before we can make progress. The possibility of advancing in this adventure effectively is tied to our discernment of the meaning of the two metaphors. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angel of the seven churches, the pastors or messengers that God has sent to the seven churches that are within the territory. Angelos, minister, messenger. And the context upon which we visit the church in this eye view is from the territorial context. So everything wears the territorial shade. And so we are not talking about angel in the context of an ecclesiastical creature. We are talking about a territorial messenger. Territorial agelos, who is referring to the economy that supports the pastor. Right? Right. So, the seven golden candlesticks, the implication of that are the seven churches. Now, we must understand that the use of this metaphor is not just an attempt to conceal the meaning of what Jesus wanted to communicate to his people. But the metaphors are symbolic of the function of either messengers or churches within territories. The metaphor lampstand is equal to territorial churches. The reason why the metaphor was used is because we are supposed to bring witness, not just witness of ourselves, but witness of how much money we have in the territory, witness of how the percentage of the economy we control, but witness of Christ. Because the life of the churches is the personality that walks in the midst of them. And it happens to be that the church is an infrastructure built into the earth that is a conduit through which the reality of Christ can find expression within the context of the territory. And it's very easy for us to look upon the church from its mystical perspective. And then we see all that the church is from that eye view. It's very easy for us to consider the church from the universal perspective. It's very easy for us to see the church from the global perspective. However, the perspective of the church that is captured within this outworking in the book of Revelation chapter 1, the church situated within territories as a deliberate infrastructure that God builds into the territory as a basis of manifesting the witness of Christ. So, lampstands are churches, territorial churches, bearing what? The witness of Christ. It's Christ that is walking in the midst of them. So the reason for their illumination is to bring witness about the personality whose reality is in the midst of us. So at any point in time when there is no witness of Christ in the territory, it means the church does not exist there. Now we are going to, like I said, we are trying to launch an investigation in Scripture to find out if the church exists in Nigeria, first and foremost. Let's not assume. But we are going to use the tools that we will pick up, the utensils that we will pick up from the mystical corridor as it is presented to us in the book of Revelation chapter 1 as a basis of launching our investigation. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Amen. Alright, so we are going to launch an investigation and we are going to use the utensils that we will pick up from this disclosure in the book of Revelation as the basis of our investigation. Secondly, we have seen that Jesus referred to ministers sent to territories as stars. Yesterday we defined a minister from this presentation as luminaries, because the function of a star is to shine. And a star does not just exist anywhere. A star exists in a certain galaxy. That is elementary geography. So if that means anything at all, hallelujah. The people at the back there, the sound, the volume was okay, then you added volume. Now it's too much. So if you can reduce it, because the time will come when there is a little anointing, and then I might be moved to shout, not because it's intentional. The spirit within me might be shouting. And I may not have a choice but to respond, to reciprocate, to align. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, so the ministers are considered as stars. And just like I said, stars exist in galaxies. And what they do is that they shine. So in this context, we capture, because Jesus here is seen to be holding the stars, upholding the star. Right? And so we say that stars are luminaries that are held up in the galaxies of God. So, in order for a minister to qualify to be a minister, he must be operating from heaven and manifesting on earth. Okay. So this, we were able to achieve this much from yesterday's presentation. Is there any question about that before we make progress? Because what I want to do now is to show us this. Hi. Amen. Now, media people, this volume, when you get it right, all right, just leave it. Now it's too much, so you can reduce it. Just leave it and pray. God will take care of the rest. Now, it's needful for us to understand this. Leave my voice. Just leave it. Leave it. Amen? Alright. So, we are going to take a few scriptures. I took a scripture yesterday to illustrate the star phenomena. Right? And we said that they are luminaries. But they are held up in the galaxies of God. And in the book of John, chapter 3, verse 31, we saw Jesus giving perspective to the star phenomenon. He said, he that is from above is above all. He that is from, are you with me? The earth is earthly, and he speaketh from the earth. Hallelujah. You see, so you can actually know where somebody is speaking from. Because the work of a star is to shine. You can know where he's shining from. You can know where he's speaking from. And a man will speak from his strongest layer of consciousness. Because the Bible makes us to understand that the proof of life is consciousness. I got that from John chapter 3, when Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, and Jesus said to him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The evidence of spiritual birth is that there is a consciousness that is born within us, with which we can perceive the activities that go on in the realm of God. Without being born again and having the Spirit of God inside of your heart, you do not have any other means of attaining that kind of what? Consciousness. Are you with me? You're not with me. But you see, we need to go far today. You know? We need to go far today. Christianity is dying. We're the only ones that are not aware. Christianity is dying. It's at the verge of death. Now, most of us don't study patterns. If you study demographics, just demographics, the people functioning under the spirit of the bond woman, they give birth to as many children as possible. Doctor, you have two. Your counterpart has 8, 9. Demographics. In fact, it is already known that in 50 years' time, Europe will be Islamic. Without bomb, no. You might be amazed that our children will be born into an Islamic world in the next 60 years. Some of us will still be alive. God is looking up. Because the church is his limitation. If we will have expression upon the earth and have witness upon the earth, it will be through the instrumentality of the church. I don't know why he chose it that way. But, unfortunately, that was how he decreed. So we amount to become his limitation. It's just like using a funnel. It has a big part as a small part. Even though the big part has capacity to capture. But what flows down at the rate at which it flows down is largely dependent on the opening of the small part. That's what the church is. But God is so focused. But it's possible for you not to see him in generation. And that is not God's fault. It's because of the church. And so we need to define church. Because there are two contrasting Greek words that I would like us to look at. Maybe this is, if God will permit. Ecclesia and synagogue. There's the witness of Christ. That's the reason why the church is existing upon the face of the earth. To bear witness of the one that walks in the midst of us. Right? Okay. So let's look at the church. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. 1 verse 8. You cannot separate the release and the receipt of that power from territory. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in. Now you cannot separate that from territory. Because most of us do not understand that the church is an infrastructure in territory. So we are territorially useless. Our presence is not felt in society. And this is the spirit of the bond woman. They have a newspaper called what they call that thing? Trust. You are afraid of something. Or you are just waking up, or you are trying to.
Those are territorial initiatives to whip up sentiments along a certain line. Al Jazeera, you know that. It has power. And it's not demons that come to put attention. A demon cannot appear in sect and also a demon. The Bible says that in the last days, the various times will come. It is a demon. It is a we are going up, rather.
Of Christ, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. There are many other scriptures where Jesus releases us to witness to people on his behalf. But Acts chapter 1 verse 8 is not talking about witnessing to people. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 is talking about bringing evidence to show that Jesus is authentic. Are you with me? Because Jesus is in the dock. Men are in the valley of decision, contemplating whether Jesus is the accurate way or not. That's a dock. That's a court situation. He's about to take a decision about Jesus. Either to render a disclaimer on Jesus in his own life or not. And then suddenly, a witness comes. Saddled with power from above. Hallelujah. And on the strength of his witnessing, this judge that is about to take a decision now decides on Jesus. You understand that? That's what the church is. We bear witness about Jesus. You get the lampstand matter now. I have examples, but you must capture it first before we make progress. Let me bring another example about the stars. I hope you understood John chapter 3 that we did yesterday. Hallelujah. Did you get that one? Or we should do it again? You got it? Alright. So let's pick other scriptures and continue with the stars before we now come, first of all, to do an experiment. The experiment is to try to find out what will happen if a particular church loses its candlestick. What are the implications of that? Before we begin to look into the texture and the reality of what a lampstand should be in the territory. Would I finish the introduction? Then we can now start talking about the functions of the church. We'll now begin to, because the church is don't worry. Let's try. Can we do 1 Kings chapter 22 from verse 16? Now I'm trying to illustrate the stars. The candlesticks and stars. 1 Kings 22 from verse 16. Now, if you have another microphone, I will like to commit somebody to do some reading for us. I'd like to commit somebody to do some reading for us. Is there a microphone there? No microphone. I see. Okay, I think I'm stuck with the reading. Verse 16. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? This is Micaiah. Let me present a background so that the reading will be comprehensible. King of Israel and of Judah want to set up for battle. They need to know the position of God about that battle, so that they will not be victims of casualties in a situation that could be avoided. A lot of prophets were summoned, and they prophesied positively, "Go, the Lord shall deliver the enemy into thy hands." But somehow the king of Judah was not satisfied. Somehow there was something lacking in the utterance that did not allow him to post his confidence in what they were saying. And he wanted a different opinion. Doctor, can you help me? Alright, give doctor. See her there. No, you don't need to stand up. Just sit down. We will read from verse 22 to verse 22 to 16 to 23. All right? So the king of Israel said, well, there is still one prophet around, but he never says anything positive about it. It's a prophet of doom. His own utterances are normally very, very contrary to the utterances of the prophets of the time. It's not sellable. It's not contemporary. He's crude, and he's a sadist. His perspective is always in conflict with the mainstream prophets. So that's the scenario, that's the context. Doctor, you can pick up from verse 16. Now please listen diligently. I will, doctor, sit down. Listen diligently. I will stop you at some point just to explain. Now, listen. What we are trying to do, what the reason for this scripture, is to show you the meaning of that metaphor that Jesus used in the book of Revelation chapter 1. The metaphor for the minister. How not the minister is considered to be a star. Alright? A luminary held up in the constellations of God. That's what a minister should be. John chapter 3, verse 31 to 34, the Bible says that he that is from the earth speaketh from the earth. The Bible says he that is from above is above all. He speaketh the things of God. And the Spirit of God is not given to him by measure. So we have something here. A luminary speaks from the realm of his reality. He gives perspective. His utterance gives perspective to the things that he sees and hears by the Spirit. His utterances do not derive from the earth. It's not as a result of study. His utterances derive from proclamation. It's like a transmission station, an FM station, a frequency modulation that is transmitting directly from heaven. And that's the perspective of a minister. And very soon, you'll come to realize in this Bible study that if we do not have ministers that are stars, then the possibility of an accurate lampstand within the territory does not exist. Now, these other prophets that we are trying to look into, their prophets, they were speaking from the earth. Hallelujah. So it is possible for you to speak from the earth. Secondly, there are also some prophets. You will see them. These ones are not speaking from the earth. So they actually have the gift of prophecy. Are you with me? But you see, because they don't know the God they are prophesying for, they don't know the God whose mouthpiece they are, Even when a foul spirit begins to transmit, that gift of prophecy can pick what the foul spirit is transmitting. And they cannot discern and decipher because they don't know the God whose mouthpiece they were supposed to be. So we also have that category. We have the category of people that speak from the earth. We also have the category of people that just speak things from the spirit. They are skilled in picking things. But because they don't have an intimate walk with God, they cannot decipher whose utterance they picked. Notice that in this scripture, they were not called false prophets. Because they were actually exercising the gift of prophecy. But unfortunately, it was the witness of a foul spirit that they were transmitting. As we will come to realize shortly in this Bible study. So the fact that a lot of people are speaking doesn't mean there is a star in the territory. But the devil realizes that there's a certain star that is held up to beam light into a particular territory. What he does is that he marshals out his army against that star. He can leave the other people to be talking. Can't you see how Micaiah came under intense persecution? In fact, when he came initially, he said, "Oh yeah, hurry go. It's well." So the king had to tell him, "Did I not say that any time you come to speak in the name of the Lord, you should not lie? Did I not give you that commandment?" Then the guy, because he was tired of persecution. So he just came and flew with them, said, "Hey, you will prosper." The king knew that this guy has. Then he switched and he began to transmit. Now, what I want you to see is when she gets there, we'll stop her. Alright. 16. They have no mask, they have no covering. All these soldiers, you don't have a valid covering. Let them go home and sleep. Because if they march out without a covering, it will be the same way I've seen it. I've seen Israel scattered upon the mountains like sheep without shepherd. This utterance this prophet is bringing is actually a picture of the spiritual scenario. Oh, go on. I don't have time. Go on. They have no master. See, do you know that it is possible that because a star is speaking from heaven in a particular territory, even the church can persecute him? In a day when the synagogue backslides, we have one man that is speaking from heaven. He will look like a personality that is swimming against the tide. In fact, that's not a good place to be for a minister. It's heavily laden with persecution, heavily laden with contradiction. Now, this man went further to show us one thing he had with God that all those other prophets did not have. You'll find that. And this is the scope of true prophetic ministry in this time. Well, the Lord will help us. Because of time, we can't press so much. Go on. Now, this is the aspect. This man, when we proceed further, you will realize he's a senator. I will define who a senator is during the course of this Bible study. This one is a senator. He has a seat in the court of heaven. I will show you other people that had seats in the court of heaven. And God will never take any decision within the scope of the territories they represent in the Senate without speaking to them. It will be against God's nature for him to do that. Because the Bible says that the heavens, even the heavens, belong to God. And the earth has he given unto the sons of men. That's a royal decree. It's not subject to change. That's what makes prayer very, very important. Because after that utterance, it will be illegal for God to invade the earth realm without the participation of a mortal. Amen. Are you still with me? Now listen, the implication of that statement is this. If you see evil activities, people dying, witchcraft, all kinds of stuff, all kinds of sicknesses that you cannot explain in your family, don't go too far. In your investigation, don't go too far. The reason why it is like that is because there's a man in your family that is exercising priesthood that legitimizes the operations of darkness in that family. Don't point at demons. It's the work of a man. Right? Okay. Leave it. Doctor, go on. I saw the Lord. This one, those prophets that were prophesying did not have this experience. This was based on his own ranking with God. Just like what Peter said at the gate, beautiful. The silver and gold we do not have, but such as I have. There was something that Peter had with God. It was on the strength of that which he had in his account with God that he withdrew that miracle. Now, notice he said, look on us. He didn't say, look to Jesus. He said, look on us. I have an account with God. And such as I have, I give you. Now, there are levels of ranking with God where you have things with God. You have agreements. You have covenants with God. You can spend from those covenants. And spend for me. It's available for you. I'm not so deep with God, but I have a few bank accounts that I can spend from. Even now, I can spend from it. It doesn't matter whether people pay for this meeting or not. If I am here, I can spend from that account. Just like I said, I've not gone too deep, all right? I have some little accounts. Maybe the currency there might not be so much, but it's there all the same. So this is ranking. These are people that have something with God. They have submitted themselves to the disciplines of the Spirit of God. They have the opportunity to go away. They had the opportunity to be discouraged and stop following God. And they decided to follow God by an act of choice. At some point, it was no longer making sense, but they stayed with God. Because of that, God came and cut covenant with them and made them have the capacity of access to some of his treasure matters so they can spend from there. So that's how that guy got that miracle. He got it from something he had with God. Now these guys, those are not normal Christians. They're not normal Christians. They are not everyday Christians. Meanwhile, that is supposed to be the destiny of every Christian. We all should grow to a point where we share things, secrets with God, and we can spend from heaven. Now, so this guy said, there was a meeting I attended in heaven. So he wants to give us the background of his counsel. His background was evidently missing in the utterances of the other prophets that were bidding the king to go, that God would deliver his enemies into their hands. A star has a background with God. A star can connect you to encounters that were the result of every utterance. So when a man no longer has encounters, he's not a star. He shouldn't speak for God. Okay, go on. Mm-hmm. This was the Senate city. And that was the subject of that city. Who will persuade Ahab to go to war? Okay? Now, the guys that were prophesying on ground never knew that there was such a meeting. Meanwhile, they had uttered a counsel of God and they spoke in the name of the Lord. But they did not even know that there was this meeting. And the reason why they did not know was because they were not senators. As we progress, I don't know if we can do that today or even in this meeting. I will show you the structure of the kingdom of God. Colossians chapter 1 verse 16 gives us a little perspective about the structure of the kingdom of God. When we do that structure, when we study the structure, the layout of the spiritual realm, the layout of the invincible realm, then you will see what it means when God says, he shall be great in my sight. What does it mean for a man to be great in the sight of God? Because a man that is great in the sight of God may not necessarily have material. It's not about material things. Hallelujah. He has some things with God. He is a functionary of the kingdom of God in a certain territory. If God will move in that territory, God must have to consult with him. Abraham also operated in that status. God wanted to go to Sodom and Gomorrah to do something, and God felt it to be illegal for him to do it without informing Abraham. And he gave us the criteria for which Abraham was such a man of stature, that God will have to come and tell his intention before he can prosper. God comes to a man. He tells him what he wants to do before he will now be able to do it. Because he's a senator. There were a lot of conditions which we don't have time to go into. Hallelujah. I hope you know, in the eyes of God, Moses was more important than the whole Israel. I know you don't believe that, but it's in the Bible. God told Moses to leave so that he will kill all of Israel and start another nation with him. So if that agenda had prospered, they would have been called Moselites, not Israelites. Because in the eye of God, Moses was more important than that nation. You know, when there are no stars left, let me take you further. Under the old covenant, are you with me? In order for God to atone for the whole country, they sacrifice a goat. But in order for atonement to be made for the priest, he sacrifices a bull. His own sacrifice is higher than the sacrifice of the whole nation. You must understand the workings of God. Are you with me? They can set up bombs everywhere in Kaduna, but the stars of Kaduna will not be affected. Many Christians can die, but God will preserve the stars. The stars can only leave this realm by an instruction, by a proclamation from God. You see, the Bible says that Moses died according to the word of the Lord. So an utterance, God decreed his death from heaven. That's how those kind of people pass into glory. Do you know how long it takes God to raise a man that has that capacity? I'm not talking about people that just you speak in tongues. No. No, the secrets of God, they are delivered unto you because of how dear you are to God. Because you subjected yourself to the disciplines of God when it was not convenient. And the only reason why you continued was because you had love for God. And your love had made you a captive to his will. Those are the people that God brings into the inner chamber and causes to share with him the things that are of him. And when you see them upon the face of the earth, their own perspective of their own vista of insight is different from the normal preacher of the time. The preacher can preach for God today by mistake and preach for Mammon tomorrow. Anything that is moving, he can catch and preach. But when these kind of people show up, they are a diode. They can only transmit current from one source. Christianity is dying. And it's dying fast. And if that revival we have been asking for doesn't come in the next 10 to 14 years, forget it. This world will fall into darkness. Thank God that this woman did not win US elections. Maybe by now they would have been preparing to launch the Antichrist. You don't know how close we are to the end. Well, I don't have time today to do my calculations. But when I did it, I was afraid. This man was a star. And unfortunately, we don't have too many stars in our nation. And unfortunately, the only stars we have left are old. So the challenge now is, what is the fate of Christianity in the next 7 years, next 10 years, next 12 years? And if something strange does not happen with you and me, we might have no lampstand left in the whole of Nigeria. We can have this kind of prophets that speak from the earth, but their witness cannot bring the perspective of the kingdom. Read on, doctor. Now, no, are you seeing? Those guys are not false prophecy. They are prophets without encounters. They have the gift of prophecy without encounters. And so when the lion spirit came and the transmission began, they tuned their prophetic knob. What is your FM station? 96.1. A transistor radio is neutral. If there is transmission, it can pick. Just tune and your radio is aligned with the transmission of the time. It will give up the transmission. That's how somebody that has the gift of prophecy is. Yes. But there is a senator. A senator doesn't have a transistor radio that the knob is flexible. A senator's own, they have broken the knob out. They tuned it to one station, then they broke it. So it can't. It has only one possibility of reception. His receptacle can only pick for one source. It was a lying spirit that left that court session. Do you know how many times they sent lying spirit to Nigeria? Well, we don't have time to contend with the new utterance of the lying spirit that has been designed to destroy the Christian faith. Okay, it has not reached here. That's why I don't want to say it. It's in Akure, Lagos, Ibadan. That's where we need to go for the next Bible study. It's called the Grace Movement. Grace Movement. I know it has not reached here, so thank God. The Grace Movement. We have to go to the laboratory of doctrine, of scripture. That's where I'm coming from now. To examine that teaching and to provide a defense for the truth. It took a long time, but I just finished it now. So we have to go to Akure and contend with that beast. Because a lying spirit was sent so that our capacity within the ecclesia will degenerate. So the devil is sending messengers that can pick from his realm and utter it. And many of them are in church now. The last time we went, he must speak, there's something they call Abaramiri. Abaramiri. Say, what spirit? People that the spirit has possessed can give up something like prophecy. That's if they are prophesying. Right? So most of the guys that do that thing in Imo State, they are pastors now. And they gather a lot of people. So if we go there and pray, the demons will leave. Those people will begin to manifest. The demons will leave. So we contested and contended with a lot of them in the East. Christianity is dying. You know that? Okay. So you understand what I mean by the stars now. You know, in the book of Matthew chapter 16, concerning Peter, you know, Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. That means there are things that flesh and blood can reveal. But this, your own realm, is from my Father. That's a star. This utterance you brought came from yonder. It's not as a result of study. It's not because you attended a lecture. These are the very utterances of my Father. Because it's only my Father that knows me. And if you have been able to pick my identity, it means you have started hearing the whispers of my Father. That's what it means to be a star. To bring perspective from the transmission station from heaven. Is that correct? Now, so in view of this, let us conduct the investigation. You will not like it anyway. You will not like this investigation. The first thing about the church. Number one, definition. One characteristic of the true ecclesia, lampstand on the face of the earth, is this. I know you will not like it, but let's try and find out if it's scriptural. The church, number one, must have apostolic DNA. I will explain that. Must have what? Apostolic DNA. Have you realized? Are you with me? Yeah, see here. Have you realized that Jesus never raised a prophet? Jesus never raised an evangelist. Jesus never raised a teacher. Jesus never raised a pastor. Jesus only raised apostles. Why? That means Jesus deliberately decided that apostles will begin the journey. I will show you what happened to the church in Nigeria when we took on pastoral DNA. Meanwhile, for the sake of it, it was 8 years after Jesus had gone to heaven that it was ever said in scripture that there was a man called Agabus. It is. That the prophet emerged. So the apostles were the first messengers that heralded this order of priesthood. Oh, okay. You don't like my talk. 1 Corinthians chapter. You know the Bible is a good book. Hey, it's the only account we have of tracing our heritage. And thank God it was not written in Nigeria. Thank God. 1 Corinthians quickly. Chapter 12. The technical people, can you put that scripture there? 1 Corinthians 12 verse 28. We'll still use this scripture for the second point. Let's. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 28. And the Bible says, and God has set some in the church. First. What? The word first there in Greek language is proton. From the rendering of that scripture, it is first in rank, first in manifestation, first in preeminence. Because the church is supposed to have apostolic DNA. Yes, our DNA must be apostolic. It means that the body of Christ should be infiltrated with apostolic philosophies, apostolic perspectives. Every other ministry gift should be apostolic in its approach to ministry. And I'm going to explain what that means. The DNA of the apostle is about taking territory, transforming society, winning more into the kingdom. It's about domineering. It's about dominating. It's about deculturizing. That should be our DNA. That should be the way we operate. That should be our eye view. Our eye view must be apostolic. You might ask me, Pastor, so what does it mean when an evangelist, for instance, is apostolic in his outlook in ministry? What does it mean? Now, are you with me? I hope you know in scripture that the Bible says, it said, do the work of an evangelist. All of us can do the work of an evangelist. All of us can minister to people and lead them to Christ. We can do it personally, we can also do it corporately. Any one of us can stand on a crusade ground, if you are well instructed, to deliver an evangelical sermon with a hope that people will come to the Lord. And all that an evangelical sermon is presenting Jesus as man's basic need. All mortal men, that message is relevant to all mortal men. That's what it means. All of us here can do that. Now the Bible says that teaching is actually a sign of maturity. The time that you guys ought to be teachers. It means as you grow very well, there's a time that comes you'll be able to expound on the word of God, irrespective of office. Is that true? You believe that? Good. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 31 that ye all can prophesy. There's one gift of the Spirit that every believer has. It's the gift of prophecy. Ye all can what? Prophesy. That doesn't mean we are prophets, but we have that inherent capacity as one of the inheritances that we have received in light. Get that? Every believer must have an apostolic outlook.
must have a desire to dominate. That dominion mandate is part of our original mandate in Adam. Be fruitful. Multiply. Have dominion. And do you know that if you are apostolic in your outlook to life, you will make different plans than the one that you are making now. Most of you just want to break even. Have money coming, have a car, have a beautiful wife, and beginning to give birth to children. That form of laxity exists in your life because your eye view is faulty. The reason why we could buy this message of the utopian prosperity, that the climax of life is when you are financially stable, which is a doctrine that is taught by demons. It's a doctrine of demons. If in our teaching of prosperity we do not balance the fact that, balance it this way, if he doesn't have this balance, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added. The only context in which things cannot possess your soul, things will not have authority to regulate your soul, the only context that is possible is when your focus, your unique goal is the kingdom, and then God causes resources that you need to prosecute your divine purpose to navigate your direction. That's the only context. Because if what you are doing now is losing your life to seek gain and seek material stuff, you have a different God. But one thing about Mammon is that he has the capacity to command human worship. That's what we don't know about Mammon. Many people stopped worshiping Jehovah long ago. Many churches stopped preaching Jesus long time. It's about Mammon. I have statistics which, if I open here, I might become at risk. That's the reason why I will not. That's the reason why I will not. Strange statistics. Mammon has the capacity to command human worship. In fact, it is the only entity that Jesus said can fight for his place in the lives of men. The reason why we could imbibe that thing and tarry in that level of defilement is because we do not hear the voice of the dominion mandate. It is the apostolic DNA that makes you live with the dominion mandate in view. That's why, are you with me? So if the evangelist is operating with an apostolic DNA, he doesn't rest. Paul never rested until he died. Because there were still more lands to be conquered. It makes you stretch yourself beyond your human capacity. Because the lands and the territories that need to be what? Now, so the church must have apostolic DNA. The reason why we are contented with operating in a building instead of operating in the territory is because that DNA is lost. And through the kind of teachings that we have heard, our potentials have been bridled. We have celebrated normal Christians as supernormal Christians. Just because the church is abnormal, crippled by teachings, where utopian goals were presented instead of the kingdom of God, and instead of making Christ our unique goal. That's number one. Number two. You know, that for me to raise number two. I went too fast. Let's go back. Yes, you have gotten one point. Leave it. Let's go back again. Still to talk about our candlestick. Because I've not shown us what happens in a particular territory when God comes and he withdraws a candlestick. I've not shown us. We're supposed to conduct an experiment based on that to see whether the church was still alive in Nigeria. Or what we have left are just holders, candle holders, without candle. Hallelujah. So let's go back. Revelation chapter 2 verse 5. If you are still here, say amen. Alright, let's see the case that Jesus is building against the Ephesians, the church at Ephesus. And unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Does it look like what we read in the book of Revelation chapter 1 verse 20? Good. I don't have time. I hope you know in the appearance that Jesus made in Revelation chapter 1, this was not the only thing that John saw. But that was the revelation that was needed in the Ephesian church. So he revealed Jesus to the Ephesian church as the one that walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. As the one that holds what? The seven stars. Please take note of that. The life within the candles and the power that upholds the stars. That was the revelation of Jesus that he gave to the Ephesian church. The life within the candles. And what? The power that upholds the stars. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience. How thou canst not bear with them which are evil, and thou hast tried them that say they are apostles, and are not, and have found them liars. So in the day, one of the things that was responsible for the depravity in the Ephesian church was the rise of false apostles. The emphasis that they brought negated the dominion mandate. It gave room for complacency, for laxity, for all kinds of stuff. And the inner drive to fulfill that dominion mandate was no longer in view. It was the handiwork of false apostles. I don't have time to press on that because we did not come for war. And has borne and has had patience for my name's sake and labor. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. The word first here is still proton. Thou hast left thy first. It was to this church that Jesus threatened that he will withdraw their candlestick. Because this church has evolved a style, a kind, a type of Christianity that can be done outside of sacrifice. The result of our love for God will be revealed in the extent of sacrifice that we are ready to deploy to serve his will. So these guys have become cerebral. They calculate everything, you know. And just, this is the opposite of what happens. This is the opposite of functioning by the apostolic DNA that I'm talking about. Paul could not rest. His thoughts were taken over. The territory was a threat to him. He wanted to see how much in his lifetime he could stretch the frontiers of the kingdom. He labored in discipleship to raise people that will continue after him and to make sure that they don't have his weaknesses. He told them his weaknesses and told them to avoid it. Provided structures for them. Structures for leadership in the ecclesia. Give them, for your information, there's nothing like mentoring in the Bible. Even though it's popular, those are terminologies that are alien to scripture. Because the concept of discipleship is not training you. It's to make you a partaker of the covenants I have. That's discipleship. It's not just teaching you what I'm doing. Like an apprentice in a shop, in a spare part shop. They teach him the business. So he grows up and he knows how to do the business because he has seen it done for 15 years. That is mentoring. But discipleship is a thing that has to do with the pathway of life. Life and covenant. It has to do with spiritual heritage. Not just you. You can say the things I say, but it will not produce the result.
Yes.
Because I am speaking from covenant. Even though the covenants may not be much, but they still exist. So no matter how you try to do the talk, it will not be the same with the man that has the covenant. So you will be, discipleship is about bringing you to a point where you can inherit that covenant. You can inherit the power that was at work in my own spirit. That's an organic thing. Not a thing about methods and style. It's about life and procedure. Life and covenant. A lot of foreign terminologies have been brought into the church that have it has affected our DNA. So this is who we have become. And Jesus threatened this church and said, this church is at the risk of losing his candlestick. You know, I did an explanation yesterday. I said, if me and Moses, where is the Moses of yesterday? If me and Moses decide to begin to do prayers, or begin to hold prayer meetings, and we meet in his house every day from 5 to 7, and begin to pray. We would not invite Moses' wife. We didn't invite because we don't know how she will feel about our prayer. So we go to a corner. She decided to come and join us by herself. Not that we went to say it is a proper thing for when your husband is praying, it's proper for you as a wife to do. No. If you are not convinced about it, do the things you know is proper to do. So we continue. The wife joined of her own free will because she felt she was prompted. Probably maybe my own wife too joined of her own free will, not because I invited her. She said she wanted to be part of the prayer. We continue the prayer. The day God decides to approve this our little prayer group as an instrument that his kingdom will use is the day we start getting feedback from heaven. The day an utterance we did not plan at all breaks out. It means that a spirit, the voice of a spirit, is in the midst of this gathering. Are you with me? That voice is accessible by this protocol, by this infrastructure. Are you with me? As long as this prayer group is not set up to meet our own needs, it is set up to meet the needs of God and to provide legitimacy for God to intervene. As long as we do not break the protocol for gathering, I will show you later, in our legislative operations as a church. As long as it is not designed to meet our own needs, we pray for vehicle, pray for car, pray for. Sometimes God, by His Spirit, can release us to pray for those things. But the reason for which that kind of prayer is established has nothing to do with our needs. So Jesus now believes that His interest is captured in that which we are doing. It means we are not doing it for ourselves, we are doing it as unto Him. The implication of that is our prayer group has recognized the authority of Christ. One, our prayer group is designed to capture the authority of Christ. Two, our prayer group depends on the stirrings of Christ to operate. Three, and we do that long enough and the quality and pattern does not change. A time comes where the crystals begins to speak through that arrangement. And that utterance that becomes through that arrangement has a territorial nature. It means that part of his government will be executed from that platform. If the purity and jealousy of our alliance is not compromised, you will find people in the neighborhood will supernaturally come and join. People that Christ can influence. Not because there's invitation. There is something called apostolic gathering. Don't worry. Don't worry. You know everything we... These days we plan everything. We plan a revival. Plan. And we gather. He that is of the earth is speaketh from the earth. A few things that happen when the candlestick is withdrawn. Number one, when the candlestick is withdrawn, like if me and Moses now begin to see that, people are coming, the whole neighborhood has, in fact, people will be parking cars. Are you with me? Do you know what makes what we are doing? What are we even doing? In the natural, what is it? Is it not gathering to pray? Are you the only one that is gathering to pray? The spirit of the bond woman, how many times did they gather? So, are we doing any strange thing? We are doing a normal thing. But what makes our gathering abnormal is that a colossus in eternity, an immortal, has found a platform in our congregation to begin to exercise government. That's what makes, that is the power that animates, makes our gathering important. Now, if by any means, are you with me? I say, are you with me? If by any means that gathering loses that immortal blessing, what do you think it will be? Synagogue. That's what the Bible calls it. It's no longer ecclesia. Legislations cannot take place there. What it is a gathering of people decided by their own will to gather. Just like in student union on campus, we used to gather how many thousand? Those days, 10,000 people. Bosa, Bosa, Bosa. The BC, his blood pressure will go up. But in that gathering, 10,000 people, but there's no voice, no utterance in synagogue. That is a Greek word from when synagogue was derived. It is a gathering that is by the will of man unto man. Synagogue. Nothing spontaneous can happen there. Legislation cannot take place. The territory cannot benefit. Meanwhile, human beings are gathered. It's a mortal fire that makes the gathering to become a legislative chamber. If the mortal fire is withdrawn, all we have is an association that is formulated by the will of man, and it will lack a voice. Okay. Number one. If the candlestick is withdrawn, I will end here. We'll continue. The deeper matters will begin in the evening. I pray for utterance. Because those things are too high, except spiritual words are delivered. I know it in my spirit, but I don't boast that I have the words to say it. I know it in my spirit. It was revealed to me. But I need help. Number one, when the candlestick is withdrawn, some of you need to visit. Doctor, you need to visit UJ, that FCS. Maybe you guys were on fire that time. You might be amazed that the synagogue that you meet, fossils and relics, that the signs to show that Jesus came here once upon a time, the candlestick had been withdrawn. There's nothing supernatural, no voice there. You can shake during praise and worship. We know the extent to which you're shaking. It is of the earth. No spontaneous thing can happen. Anyone that came expecting deliverance, you will not find it there. Not because it's a curse. There is nothing animating the gathering. Some of you need to travel back. You will find out that when you left, the devil also had plans for the gathering. So if we are wise people, if we are the real ecclesia, when there is a challenge that we affect that candle that have been read up in the heavens as the Nadak number for that animates our gathering, we will fight to ensure that that candle is, we fight. We can even shut down and say, wait, we are going to fast for 17 days to ensure that, because that's where our life is. If by any means we lose touch with that immortal dimension, our gathering means nothing, just a gathering of men. But it's unfortunate how we can go on without the candle. We have structures, wonderful administration, but the possibility of something rising up from that place that will challenge the gates of hell is not in view. One, when the candle is withdrawn, that our infrastructure will lack the ability to express that which is heavenly. To lack the ability to express that which is heavenly. He that is from above is above all, and speaketh the words of God, and the Spirit is not given to him by measure. It will lack the ability to speak to what? Express that which is heavenly. That's number one. Number two, it will be incapable of expressing the one who is in heaven. You know, it will not have the capacity to express what is heavenly. It will not have the capacity to reveal who is in heaven. Number three. Have you written those two down? Number three, it will not be able to utilize and maximize the resources of heaven. Hallelujah. Now let me give you one experience. I attended a church in Lagos. We finished, we did some spiritual exercise, and we now went to church on Sunday. And when we went to church on Sunday, because my assignment in that church, that was the church I attended when I was working in Lagos, my assignment in that church was that I should sit in one of the corners, like as this congregation is now. I should sit either that way or this way and pray for the pastor and the pulpit. So that was my assignment. And only me and Baba knew. So I came that way. The ushers ensured that my position, because they noticed I liked that place. So it's as if one of the ushers dreamt about me and was on my case with a particular determination to ensure that I don't sit in my seat. So I sat this place. So I now told the great one, I said, this place I'm sitting on is not disobedient. The thing is, I respect the authority of the usher. That's why I'm here. Sorry, if I agree, sorry, this is the only way I understand it. Because if I violate the authority of this usher in a bid to obey you, you will not accept my sacrifice. So I am here because of authority. Then I began to pray. And then somewhere in the service, my eyes opened. And I saw the angel of the Lord descended close to the pulpit. And what I read in the letters I saw was healing. So that day God wanted to heal. And I was praying. Then the presence of God will come for the pastor to enter. He will run away from it. I pray. You know, we finished that service. There was no healing. Because we lack the ability to maximize the reinforcement resources coming from. So it's not as if God does not will, but there's an alignment problem. It's an alignment matter. Meanwhile, the congregation is a big one. And the eyes of men, it was a great congregation. In fact, I know that the pastor is sincere. He's sincere. I know that. But you need more than sincerity to be a star. It is something that we need to weep about. That there is no star amongst us. Hallelujah. And finally, it will not be able to operate with heavenly reinforcement on earth. I'm going to end with a scripture. And that scripture will be Numbers. Numbers chapter 24. Numbers chapter 24. That's the scripture I will end with. Then, maybe from the evening sessions, we'll begin to enter into the template, the apostolic template for territorial influence. So I'm going to jump what I wanted to define the church, seven definitions of the church. But we'll have to jump that to go into the functions of the church. Because in those seven definitions, the first one is that we need to operate with apostolic DNA. So there's complacency in the body of Christ in Nigeria. And one of the reasons why there's complacency is because in the place where the apostles were supposed to be first. Okay, you don't believe me. Let me show you from the Bible. At least you will believe the Bible. Before I jump to Numbers, let's do this one first. Go to Acts chapter 6. Let's begin to diagnose some of the challenges of the church in Nigeria. But I will not stay there. I've jumped that one so that we can proceed. It's a diagnosis attempt. Are you with me? Okay, can we do Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 4? And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among ye seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. That's the greatest attack that the early church had. That's the greatest attack. For them to stop giving attention to the ministry of the word and prayer, and then start doing what? Serving tables. You are not seeing it. For them to stop spiritual work, and all of their spiritual effort is geared at meeting human needs. That is a situation where we substitute the apostolic DNA for the pastoral DNA. So everything is towards meeting need. See, so even the prophet with pastoral DNA can call somebody's phone number 080-444-66532. But he doesn't know where the chipmunk girls are in Sambisa Forest. You are not with me. The thing is structured to meet need. So the prophet is structured to meet need. Everybody is structured. So we cease being territorial. We cease being domineering. We are tied to synagogue. I would have continued the 7 points. You would have wept. But let's jump. We'll jump that this evening. Alright, let's leave that. Let's leave that. You would have wondered what we are doing. Yes, I said I will end with Numbers chapter 24. Meanwhile, you can, if you have a question on anything I've taught, we'll take 4 questions before I sit down. I need to say that I don't claim to know all the answers to every question. The one that I don't know, I will tell you, I don't know. Maybe we'll go and seek the face of Jesus for insight. Right? So, I want to tell you beforehand, I do not have all knowledge. So, if your question is beyond the scope of my understanding, we'll go back to Jesus. So, 4 questions we are going to take. In the book of Numbers, chapter 24, which will be our closing text, Doctor, do you still have the mic? Is it working? Okay, can you help me with the Numbers 24, beginning from verse 1? To verse 5. Numbers 24, from verse 1 to 5. Wait. Don't start yet. All right. You can go on. Now, I want you to understand, Balaam is like one of those prophets that was prophesying for the king of Israel. Some of you might ask, how come, which priesthood produced Balaam? You might have that challenge. Because Balaam is one of the descendants of Keturah. And the Bible says that before Abraham sent them away, he gave them gifts and sent them. Right? They were in link with the God of Abraham, but they were not the children of Abraham that were due for promise. In fact, they were not even called children of Abraham. They were called the sons of Keturah. Because according to scripture, Abraham just had to cook 2 kids, Isaac and Ishmael. But he had children from concubines. And all the children were called after the names of their concubines. Exactly. So he gave them gifts and sent them away. Some of them, some spiritual things dropped on them. Some gifts dropped. That's how we have the man, Balaam. Now, but Balaam is a strange man. He's a transistor radio. He understands divination too. On the way, he learned the ways of divination. So he can pick. If he sacrifices on altars of divination, he can pick from frequencies of evil spirit. So he's a transistor radio. Now, at this point in time, he was hired to contend against Israel because his prophetic capacity had a unique flavor. Now, are you with me? You see, even in the fivefold ministry, let's say we have 5 people that are called into the office of the prophet, there will be a difference in our administration of the office. Maybe one among the 5 is exceptionally revelatory. Maybe another one among the 5 is exceptionally empowered in intercession. Maybe another one among the five might have authority in his declaration. Are you with me? Now, they are all prophets, but their capacities are different. Their horn is different. But for Balaam, he might pray, it may not come to pass. But if he curses you, you are cursed. That's what the Bible says. On the account of this specialty, attached to his prophetic gift, he was hired. He was hired. So we can do the reading now, so that I can bring something up.
Now, when Balaam saw that he pleased the Lord to bless Israel,
his first attempt at entering into the spirit realm was through the portal of divination. He subscribed to Jehovah Shapshap. You see, if you are going to consult with Baba, unfortunately for all of us, Baba happens to be a king spirit. A king spirit is different from a servant spirit. Most of the demons, the Ezemo consults, those demons are servant spirit. He maketh his angels spirit and his ministers flames of fire. And those ones are wired as service entities. Are you with me? So they can do incantation and invoke them because they are service oriented. But you can't invoke Baba. He's a king. Baba will not respond because you cried. Emotion doesn't move him. When you finish crying, clean your eyes and come into line. If you are going to work with God and you want to go with him deeply, understand this. Understand this. He will deal with every lawlessness in your soul. If you have appetite for money, you like money. Except you don't submit to me. Except you don't submit to him. Because if you submit to him, he will not stop. He will break that appetite. By making you so dwell in lack that you become used to it. Yes, he has that power. And the moment when the last strand of your allegiance to that influence is broken, he will just raise you up. So his dealings with you take time, not because of him. It takes time because of you. He brought men into apostleship in 3.5 years. So that is the minimum time for a good student. But our own takes 25 years because maybe we are more strong-headed than those guys. He's a king spirit. He will only speak when he wants to speak. Nothing influences him to speak. That's how it is. If you don't understand the protocol of waiting, which is an acknowledgement of the fact that you need him, he doesn't really need you. That's the truth. Because if you get angry and go, he will look for another person. His purposes are constant, but his men can change. In that equation, you are dispensable. He is the only indispensable personality. So the fact that you have experience with foul spirits, you were an Ezemo before you gave your life to Christ, doesn't give you any spiritual advantage at all. Because I've heard people say, people that serve the devil, when they come to Christ, they move, they trap. You are lying. The order of spirit they serve is different. The rules by which you will serve the king spirit is different. And that's why, because the Corinthians had diabolical background, they served idols. They were exposed to the negative supernatural before they gave their life to Christ. That was why 1 Corinthians chapter 12 was written. Paul had to change their own Bible study outline. He said, you know that you were Gentiles drawn away by these dumb idols as you were led. So, I give you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says that Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. He changed the Bible study outline because of their supernatural background to tell them what God does, how God does it, and what God does not do, so that they will know the difference. It's very difficult. In the shrine, Ezemo will do an incantation and evoke a spirit. It's a factor in that economy. But in this one, you will come and kneel down. When you kneel down, nobody will know you are kneeling. I've done 3 days dry fasting before. He didn't notice. When I was tired, I left. And you will get used to the humidity of seeking a king. Before you can seek him well and become an expert in seeking him, the message of humility would have prospered in your soul. That's why Christians go and consult oracles. Balaam too. He had a plan B, because if he consults God and God is not coming quickly, he goes to. So it's a transistor radio that can tune this way and it can also tune this way. Many believers are like that. You are not aware that one of the burdens of the Christian faith now is that 35% of our preachers are diviners. Okay, let's leave that. I pray that you will not go for a meeting where a man operating with a foul spirit is. You have endangered not just your life, but the life of your children. Your children are exposed. Through your headship, you will contaminate them. So Balaam is like that. So you can go on now. As I try to round up. Now this man had tried. Okay, go on.
He did not go and the father said to seek to use sorcery.
Now so he decided to change from sorcery when it was not working. You know, before this time he had set up 7 altars. He had sacrificed to arouse the spirit realm. And then the spirits that are up for errand will gravitate towards the blood that he has spilled. Because blood is like air time in the realm. Like air time. I don't have time for that. Like air time. It gives you the possibility of communication and transaction. It's a necessity in divination. In fact, you cannot even access the throne of grace where transactions take place in the spirit except by the blood. That is how the layout is. But we are not here to talk about priesthood yet. So, he stopped doing the divination thing because it was not working. He was wanting, he troubleshooted his entire infrastructure to see where the problem was. Maybe somebody has come and defied the altar. He troubleshooted. But he could not understand why the shrine was not talking. Then he now discerned the spirit. That is as if these people that he was called to curse, they have a covenant with the dead devils. So he discerned that it was because God resisted him that he could not consult with the oracle. So he was stuck with only one option. The old option, which was to wait. So he decided to wait. He turned his face toward the wilderness. He decided to wait. Because he knows God to some extent. You know, it's easier for somebody that knew God before that bastarded to come back to God than one that has never known God before. So he's repenting now, confessing his sin, trying to seek the God of his father. He turned his face to the wilderness. And then the spirit of prophecy, which had left him for a long time because of divination, surprisingly, that spirit came back. Now, what I'm trying for us to investigate here is to investigate his utterance. Through the gift of prophecy upon his life, he was able to bring an insight. Go on. Try again.
And then lifted his eyes.
He lifted up his eyes.
And saw Israel.
Okay, you can switch your own off and use my own.
and saw Israel encamped according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him.
Hallelujah. There was a direction he was looking at. There was a place he began to look toward the wilderness first, wondering what was happening to his setup of divination. And then his eyes alighted upon the way Israel camped in the wilderness. Do you have sound now? Let me give you an idea. This is, imagine that he was doing the sacrifice on a mountain that was very high. And Israel was encamped in the valley. He was up here. Okay, go on.
And the Spirit of God came upon him.
The Spirit of God came upon him.
And he took up a parable and said,
He gave us his prophetic CV. The utterance of Balaam.
The utterance of the man whose eyes are open.
The utterance of him that hears the words of God.
Who sees the vision of the Almighty.
He falls down into a trance with his eyes wide open. These are his credentials. Just in case you have a small challenge in believing him, he's telling you his record. He said he's one of the few people alive in that time that enters trances without having to sleep. he can peep. So he's saying, just in case you have known him to be a herbalist and then you are confused now, he said, this is a new man. This man, he used to see visions of the Almighty and fall into a trance with his eye open. Now, with this kind of heavy CV, okay, we'll see the utterance that follows. Go on there.
How lovely are your tents,
O Jacob? Alright, you know, I said he was on the mountain and he was looking at Israel in the valley. Israel was camped in the valley. He was looking from up there. And so he could see the pattern in which Israel was camped. Now, in the last time we had an Olympics, right? There's this thing that they do, calisthenics. Some people will form A, B, C. It is only when you see it from up that you will see the pattern that is created. And that's the same thing that is happening here. It's calisthenics. The reason for which the anointing came in the first place was because he saw what God wanted him to see, which was the pattern of Israel's camp. Now, these guys were in transit. Are you with me? Now, if something happens now and we need to evacuate this place, and we need to camp somewhere for the night, there will be no pattern in our camping. I will just probably move out with my friend, doctor, to one place and we'll be just in till we sleep. And you are likely to do the same too. But for Israel, it was not so. Israel, they have a place, a way they camp. The camp had a pattern. The pattern was so conspicuous, so deliberate, that your tent as a man cannot be anywhere different from where it is supposed to be, because they were camping according to their tribes. See, every tribe had a role. And by reason of your age, you know where your tent should fall in that role. It's not as if there is another option. There is only one place your tent can be, because they were camping according to their tribes. So we had like that, like that, like that, like that, like that. And then the ark was in the middle. So the pattern was deliberate. That was when Balaam discovered why his prophecy didn't work. Why his divination did not work. It was because
Okay, I need to say something before I give us the understanding of that thing. One experience I had in Zaria. Went to preach in Zaria, met a young man, and the young man came to me after the sermon and said, while he was in the village, like 2 years ago, something happened to him. I said, I want to know what happened to you. So he went to the stream to fetch water, and a spirit jumped out of the water and suspended in the air and began to speak to him. That they have been looking for somebody that they want to give wisdom, but they have not found for a very long time. That one of the spirits suggested him. That is why he appeared to him. So before they asked him whether he wanted wisdom or not, they gave him 3 alligator pepper. The spirit gave him 3 alligator pepper. You know the reason for the pepper now? He was in the flesh. So when he takes the pepper, he will become high. So it will be easy to understand what the spirit was saying. Gave him pepper. He said, your neighbor, you need pepper. You need pepper. You need to go high. You have been on ground. You need to something to move you up there. So they gave him pepper. When he ate the pepper, he went high. So the spirit began to tell him how to construct a shrine. A shrine that and the coordinates, the angles, everything. If you construct that shrine in that way, it will mirror the dimension of the realm. Are you with me? You are not following me. You are not following me. You are not following me. Listen. Stay with me. The construction was such that if you constructed it that way, that construction will mirror the dimension in which that spirit operates in the second heaven. Are you with me? So, if the spirit comes into that place, the spirit will not know that it changed realm. That is the same technology that was used in the Temple of Solomon. It was built in such a way that it captured human offices. It was built in such a way that it captured angelic offices. It was built in such a way that it captured the offices of cherubims. It was built in such a way that it captured the office of Jehovah. Together? So it was built on earth to capture heavenly dimensions and realms. So that when those realms descend into that building, the entities may not even know that they changed realm. You get that? I can't go further. If you got it, then you got it. So the guy went and constructed that thing. And after constructing the thing, he began to invoke the spirit, and the spirit will come. You get that? Now, this thing that happened here, meanwhile, at the end of the day, the guy was delivered. So that's the end of that story. Here, this pattern that Israel developed in their camping, are you with me? It mirrored a dimension in heaven. And the dimension that it mirrored in heaven was present with them as they camped that way. Now, the proof, you know, Moses received a pattern from God as to how the temple should be built from the mountain. He saw into heaven. And when Solomon came to build the temple, it was according to prescription. And the only proof that Solomon built according to pattern was that what filled the temple in heaven will come and fill this physical temple. If he did not build according to pattern, something else will fill it up. Because in the spirit realm, you cannot be wrong. You can't be wrong. That your error is actually what it needs to accommodate another spirit. Are you still here? Alright. So this pattern that they developed here mirrored the dimension of heaven. And because they mirrored the dimension of heaven, that realm was present with them on ground. And that was why the sacrifice of Balaam did not work. And then God wanted him to see something. Because when he saw their dwelling, that anointing came on him. That this is the reason. It's because of the way they were. Their dwelling on earth mirrored dimensions in heaven. That is the ecclesia. Our order on earth mirrors dimensions in heaven. Your life in the spirit is a story that God is telling from heaven. If you are preaching the spirit, it is in conformity with the story that God is telling from heaven. Our order, our pattern on earth is supposed to be reflective of what? Dimensions in heaven. It is because of that that Balaam said that there is no enchantment against Jacob. Neither is there any divination against Israel. It is because of the way they were camped, the pattern. It was an illustration of dimensions. And the realms that they illustrated was dwelling with them. And so they became excluded from the possibility of divination and enchantment. Today, the messengers, the intercessors of the spirit of the bondwoman can go and enchant all of us and will come and play in the game that they wanted us to play. That was evidence in the last election. I speak in parables. It means our patterns of dwelling does not illustrate anything. So we are victims of enchantment. We are victims of divination. We are victims of other forms of priesthood. Because our bearing is not in the ecclesiastical realm. Nothing is being illustrated from the realm of God. It was Balaam that said, if you read other scriptures down, he said, I hear the cry of a king among them. See, there is a way we can gather. Huh? And our gathering will not be unto ourselves. Our gathering will capture dimensions of heaven. Such that it will be easy for a king to utter his voice. Balaam could hear that voice at the background of the gathering. It was not a voice that was physically tangible. That's the voice of government. At any point in time, that we do not have the capacity to bear that voice in our presence, it means we have become synagogic. A gathering by the will of man. God must have to prevail upon us and help our generation. Hallelujah. God will help our generation. Now, at this point, I want to bring my lectures to a close by inviting us to tarry in a word of prayer. In the evening, we'll begin to talk about the functions of the church. The first function we'll bring down is legislative function. And then we'll do practical. Then after practical, you will wait for some days to see the results, if it worked or not. It is only if we are not in tune with heaven that we are powerless. And we should run for our lives, actually. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. The lawgiver shall not depart from between his feet. And until Shiloh come. Until Shiloh come. Unto the king of Judah shall the gathering of the people be. Friends, there's a way to gather. There's a prescription for gathering. There's an order, a pattern of dwelling that brings us to that point where enchantment can't work. But divination can. It's not because we are powerful. It's just because we are in alignment. We built a small building in Makodi, in Benue, a small building. And then we said, okay, we are going to dedicate this building with 70 days of prayer and fasting. Because when we were building, we came there, and while we prayed, a prophecy broke out. And I shall bring them upon my holy mountain. Make them joyful upon my house of prayer. Their sacrifices and burnt offerings shall be accepted upon my altar. And my house among all nations shall be called the house of prayer. That's the utterance that came. So when we checked that prophecy, we saw nations there. And the number of nations is 70. So in order to animate that prophecy, to entrench it, to make it part of the civilization that God wants to, you know, experiment in that locality, we began by doing 70 days of prayer and fasting. When on the 24th day, the man that they used to fear in the place for being a wizard, he determines who lives, determines who dies. The man came for. You have been hearing tongues. What is this? Ah! So he came to check the people. And normally when we are praying like that, me, I normally pray and face the door like this. So when he came outside to check, I met him. Ah! And I was attracted. I liked him. So I went there. I was praying in tongues, looking at him. He would do like this. No, no. We were there for 35 minutes. I look at him, you look. You know what? When he went home, he went to die. Yes. He went to what? We were doing prayer. People were dying. That place was a coven. That was that side. It was cleansed. We didn't take knife to kill anybody. And we didn't say fall down and die. One day I was in Lagos in my office when they called me. I said, hey, pastor, there's a problem. I said, what's the problem? They said, there's one imam that came and be doing incantation on the door of the small building. I said, ah, wait for him. When he finishes, give him pure water. You'll be blessed. Help him with water. Give him water. There is no enchantment against Jacob. Except we are not in order. If we are in order, you are wasting your time. He didn't stop there. We went for a crusade. When we got there, we took a tour guide, somebody that was from that village. And unfortunately for us, we came too early. Hi. So I now say, Holy Spirit, now that we came early, because we thought the people were normal. No, they will go to farm first and come back. They start their crusade by 9. We came by 5, expecting crusade. We didn't meet anybody. To five, from 5 o'clock to 9, that's about 4 hours. So I wanted to know what to preoccupy myself with for 4 hours. And the Holy Ghost said I should visit the shrine of the village. So I told the tall guy, do you know the shrine? You know what? Unfortunately for me, or fortunately, I don't know, my tall guy that was 56 years old at the time of this event is the father of that my tall guy that is the keeper of the shrine. And the keeper of the shrine was 100 years old at the time of this event. So if there was anybody that knew the shrine, it was. So we now went. The man finished sacrificing to the 22 altars and the spirits were excited. I was singing to come out. And then I was looking at him. He now spoke and saw his daughter and told his daughter, who is this man that you have brought him? I said, tell him we came in peace. He now told his daughter that, I don't trust this, your man. Are you not aware that this is sick? People came to defy this place. I told him that my mission is to deliver him from his affliction. And then the Holy Spirit whispered to me that he has an everlasting heart problem. I told him about the heart problem. So I told him about his heart problem. And then the Holy Spirit whispered again and said, the heart problem is 13 years old. And I told him. The man got angry. And he raised his hand up like this. And when he raised his hand up, he realized all the demons were no longer there. So he now brought his hand down. Brought his hand down. And then he said, this man you brought here is a strange man. Then I now told him that there are people that walk in darkness. But their destiny is that they will see a strange light. That nothing has happened. All that has happened is that it's light that came. And he's seeing strange light. He can't understand it. That's what is happening to him. The man calmed down. Before we could finish, 7 old men joined us there. Yes. You know what happened? I led the entire keepers of that shrine to Christ up there. The power didn't work. There is no enchantment. I was in alignment. The pattern was accurate. You might see me on earth, but I represent something bigger in heaven. I was in alignment with that thing. Except you can disarm that thing, I will be with beyond your reach. That is the ecclesia. We're in this world, we're not of this world. Now, that's the truth about our state. I led him to Christ, led all the old men to Christ, and we drove the spirits from the altar. You know what? The witches were not told that the mask has been shut down. When we went for the crusade, I was still preaching. I was still preaching. When a crippled man just stood up like this, he didn't know what force made him stand. He stood for a long time and was imagining whether he was the one standing. And he was doing like this. Those were people that they kept in the shrine. They were rising. At least two cripples, rose up without prayer. The witches now began to pick the signal. Because these were people that were tied in the coven. How come their limbs have been released to them? I was still preaching. Then two of the witches began to manifest. About 30 witches ran off from the crusade ground. We started the crusade on the field, primary school field. We ended it on the expressway. So the people we led to Christ, we led them to Christ on express. Because we had to leave the pulpit to chase the witches. Meanwhile, when we came, they were saying, is this small boy they brought? You see, it was not about the boy. It was about what he was aligned with. There is no enchantment against Jacob. There is no divination against Israel. It's a prayer of alignment that we want to pray for the church in Kaduna. We have heard of the miracles that were done in this city. The signs, the wonders. How the hand of God was strong. There is nothing as strong as a heritage. The people have a heritage. They can trace it. At any point in time, heritages can be traced. Can we pray that God will raise people that will walk into the heritages of the church of Kaduna? They will walk into the heritages. There are several things that have been designed, deposits that have been designed for this territory. Let young men, let young women walk into them. Let young men, let young women walk into them. Their heritages. A silence must come from the church of Babylon. For there is no enchantment against Satan. Neither is there any divination against Israel. No enchantment. If we are in alignment, we cannot be defeated. If we are in alignment, we cannot be failed. Our power, our ability is tied to the alignment we are sharing with the creature of heaven.
Still on my lips.
Name. The church in this city was designed to give direction to the northern church. So the church in Kaduna is the firstborn in the north. It has that place in the courts of heaven. But that position has not been utilized for a very long time. And so there's a fractured system. It's designed to oppress every Christian within the territory so that we will not amount to what we have been ordained to be.
Everything speaks about it. The political structure. Everything has been designed to undermine this which God has ordained. But we want to ask that God will do a terrible thing in righteousness. Something that the gimmicks of politics cannot understand. To bring the entire landscape of this territory out of the bondage that has held it, marginalized it, and maligned it. Can we pray for that intervention? Oh my God. An intervention. The last time I checked, this is a Christian state. The last time I checked the statistics. The scepter shall not depart out of Judah. That's what it said. Can we ask God to restore the scepter? Judah has been a wasteland, a barren place, a place subjected to oppression. Restore the scepter. Restore the scepter. Raise the lawgiver. Restore the scepter. Restore the scepter. Let the lawgiver rise again. Let the lawgiver rise again. Let up your strength. And let the scepter be restored. Let the scepter be restored. Let the scepter. Let the scepter be restored. Let the scepter be restored. Let the scepter. Let the scepter be restored. Glory to God. In Jesus' name. Now let us sit down for 15 minutes. I forgot something. On Sunday night, do we have an event on Sunday night? Yeah? Sunday night, Sunday evening. We have an event. Alright, so the Sunday night meeting will be for healing. For healing, if you have people that are sick in the city, because somebody might be saying, the only this territorial thing you are saying, what of we that are sick? Sunday. We need to begin to re-engineer the apostolic DNA as an emphasis. And we'll do the other ones as God will help us Sunday evening for people to be healed and delivered and all kinds of stuff. Hallelujah. So I said we'll take four questions from the people participating. No, not that way. We have a way of doing it. You write it down. We don't want to know you are the one that answered. So that if you blaspheme, we'll not be able to locate you to strike you. But now you have indicated that you want to ask, so you are not asking. So if you have a question, write it down on a sheet of paper and send it like this so that we'll not know your face. So that when we answer it, we'll not be afraid of you. Okay? So two questions from the house. We'll take two from our brethren online. Then we'll bring the service to a close and we'll continue in the evening. In the evening, we'll go into deeper matters. All right. How do I, as a Christian, access this apostolic DNA? It's a lecture for another time. If earth prophets speaking from earth, are not necessarily false, how do we know false prophets? Right? It's very easy to identify a false prophet. Let me give you the basic ones for now. That's the subject we need to treat for 3 days. False prophets. The subject we need to treat for 3 days. However, I need to give you just the basic things to work with. Every spirit that people consult has a nature. Right? Has a nature. And the real nature of the spirit that people consult will be reflected in their hosts. If it's the Holy Spirit that speaks through me, are you with me? I say, are you with me? If it is true that it's the Holy Ghost that speaks through me, the nature of the spirit that communicates through me must be visible in my life. Yes. The only way spirits can have access to colonize this realm is through the people, their host. You can tell the nature of a spirit in the life of his host. The host is the very basic evidence of the nature of the spirit that operates through him. Hallelujah. The other day, somebody said, a preacher went somewhere to minister. And when he went there to minister, they sent two ladies to help him with his back problem. Hallelujah. To minister to him. So he now went to the pastor the next day and said, see you, two ladies came to accost me. The pastor said, you drove them. They have the anointing. See, so you know that the spirit at work there needs ladies to service it. So if you check the character of the prophet, that's the very, you can't hide yourself for long. And hide for a while. Not for long. The spirit itself will expose you. Will be angry. Why you want to hide your identity? You will miss something and they will come out. You will come out. Check the character of the person talking. Because if you begin to seek God and seek God, you start behaving like God. God's nature will rub off on you. When you find somebody that is anointed and proud, he doesn't know God. Because the entire spirit realm is configured to ensure that you are humble. It's the basic requirement for operation in that realm. Because you are standing before a king, and there are some courtesies that you need to adopt in order for you to have hearing in his presence. Just look at the person, you will know what he's talking. Look at him. You will know what he's talking. You see somebody say he has a call and he has never sacrificed for Jesus. He wants everything enjoyable, everything cool. He's not called. He doesn't love Jesus. He came to swindle everybody. Because a man that loves Jesus, you will prove it by the sacrifice he can give Jesus. Sacrifice he has accepted to carry, to serve his will. Meanwhile, somebody comes and he wants to be served. That's the orientation. God told me that I should never give my Bible out for somebody to carry until I'm 50. So when you come for a meeting, then an usher say, let me pick. He told me, that one is, my own commandments are more than 10. He has given me additional ones. One of them is, people should not carry your Bible. He said, I commit to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That will be what you will use to function in ministry. You must show that your spiritual knowledge is different from carnal knowledge. Carnal knowledge puffs people up. But spiritual knowledge will humble people. Just look at the person talking. You will know what he's talking. If it is true that it's spiritual knowledge you are operating with, that spirit will be giving you insight on how to humble yourself. Sometimes the spirit might come and say, okay, all these suits, you won't wear them again for 2 years. Wear shirt and tie and teach for 2 years. That spirit is working a discipline in the person's life. There's nothing wrong with the clothes. It's all about humility. Maybe after 2 years, the person has contacted what the Holy Ghost wants. You can go on with your clothes. I had nothing to do with them in the first place. The Holy Ghost begins to deal with you. If not, you don't have the authority to speak for him. He will put his scar upon you. You will suffer for his name. That's how you qualify to carry his glory. Speak for him. You walk in his power. But yet, you tell people, this power we are seeing is not me, it's somebody else. I'm just carrying it. And then you separate yourself from what you do under the anointing. You don't need to go too far. Just check the person's character. My uncle went and brought a prophet. This prophet is a very... In fact, if you come to his house to collect money, you will go for blessing from the prophet before he gives you money. There was a project that my elder brother was working on in Transcorp Hilton. And because of the nature of the project, he had to be staying in Hilton for 2 years. So they had that presidential suite that is up, that is 3-bedroom flat, plus kitchen and all. That was where he was staying for 3 years. Because of the fact that he was staying in Hilton, he got to know this herbalist that my uncle went to bring. The herbalist used to sneak to Hilton with my uncle's money, the one he gave him. And he comes there with a barrage of ladies. That was how he serviced what he was speaking with. If you press further, a man that is fake will have things to hide. It's very easy for you to find something that someone is trying to hide. But if you have nothing to hide, people will find nothing. Pastor Kumiya has been preaching for how many years? Did you ever hear from his enemies, even from his enemies, that he was with a lady? Does he not have any enemies? He does. But even his enemies could not even cook that up. It will not fly. Because there is no such thing in his life. You understand what I'm talking about? And if people accuse you falsely, they have promoted you. Because eventually it will come to limelight. It will become publicity. People pay money for publicity. The easiest way, if God wants to promote you, he will allow people to speak falsely against you. It will give you publicity that harm deal will not give you. Hallelujah. They say I was using charm, that my wedding ring was a bait. So I begged my wife, I will not use the ring again. Let's keep ring down. They say, I've gone to swallow the ring. I've said, that is in my stomach now. It's working for this. But you know what? The best thing that happened to me in the city where God called me to minister was that accusation. He gave me publicity. If they had not promoted me, the ring man, people wouldn't have come to find out this ring, just find out this ring man. Then I afflict you with teaching for 3 hours. How they say this man cannot be speaking for the devil? It was the people that they told that discerned that this man is not speaking for the devil. So if the guys that said it had kept quiet, maybe they wouldn't know me. You cannot fight a man that is accurate. You will promote him. But if a man is not accurate, it will be discovered. And when you check the person's character, you can know what he's talking. That's number one. That is a very easy litmus test. Number two, the basic assignment of a prophet is intercession. Yes, his basic assignment is what? If you find a prophet that is not versed in the culture of intercession, he's fake. The work of a prophet is intercession. The other day, a group of ministers, we gathered to pray. And the body was too much, and we were sipping prayer, just sipping it. The kind of prayer, when you sip, you forget time. You are drawing it gradually. Like coffee. And managing it. Managing the bitterness until it becomes sweet. That kind of prayer. You are managing it. And then the prophet now came. He just spread himself on the ground and was snoring. You say, Kai, we didn't come to sleep. Come, stand up. Let's pray. Let's pray. That's why we came here. He moved. Spread himself somewhere again. Spread. We touch him again and say, see, we actually came to pray. Alright? And the burden is high. So, please. And he went somewhere else and spread it. Then after about 4 or 5 hours of prayer, he woke up that there's prophecy. Kai, shut up. Go and sit down. Which prophecy is that? He will be saying something else. It's not as if something is not speaking, but it is speaking to him. It's not God. That's what I'm saying. So the basic assignment of a prophet is intercession. Every time you see a prophet is burdened with intercession. He said, let's meet for some time. Now the prophet. When you see someone that has that lifestyle, believe him. Oh. Believe. When the person comes and says, Kai, it seems this your journey is not good. You know what? You don't need tea. You won't lose anything if you don't travel. Just go and sleep. Believe him. Because the prophetic grace makes a man's prayer appetite to be vast. Before we go into doctrine, to trace a prophet, a false prophet from doctrine, with these two, you cannot miss your way. Most people don't pray again. Most people don't pray again. There's a place in, what they call that place? In Edo State. My God, oh. Ah, I forgot. Place in Edo State, a place in Bayelsa State, where you can go and wash your eyes and you can start seeing vision. Have you checked your Bible? In the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, verse 16, that damsel that speaks, that soothsayer. Click on your electronic Bible on divination. You will see the Greek for divination is Python. Check it. It's in the public space. Check, it's Python. So if you want to wash eye, one of the things they use for washing eye is from Python. But the thing is, after you have washed your eyes, number one, Jehovah is not your God again. It's Python that's your God. And then, yes. And for those of you that have gone to synagogue to look for help, you change God when you went there. Because when you go to consult a soothsayer or consult a diviner, it means you have accepted divination, the spirit called divination, to be your God. I know you don't like my talk, but I have to tell you the truth. Because I have evidence from Scripture. You are in trouble. That spirit has access to your spirit. That one you went to. Bow down. For whosoever you yield yourself as a servant to obey, servant of such, you will become. You will need to repent from doing that and weep before the Lord. Hallelujah. And just in case you collected water and palm oil and kola nut, and you have kept in one place and you are touching, you will have to take those things and go and burn them as a sign of restitution, that you have no intention to associate with that. That the reason why you did that was because you did not know. Number three, every prophet must have a discipler. If you cannot be traced to a man, you'll be traced to the devil. Who raised TB Joshua? Are you aware of his spiritual history? You just appear from heaven, you are a senior prophet. And godly people without brain will be going to consult. And we say we know God. Without brain. That's brainless existence. Meanwhile, those of you in Lagos knew his history, that he used to do rituals by the river. was his trade. You know that he is a Muslim. His name is Fahatai. Yes. Dig into history. History, you will find some things that will help your life. Certainly, we have a prophet. May the Lord forgive us. May the Lord, may Baba help us. Most of you, those water you collected is the reason why it is as if demons have been controlling your destiny. Collected water, you kept one in your toilet, kept one. You use it in the morning. You do like this. You are far away. You are far away. You are far away. I don't want to press on that. I don't want to press on that. I have a spiritual history, for God's sake. I have referees in my own spiritual life that I can send you to. They will tell you about me. I did not evolve. I'm not the reference for myself. I have references. Physical ones. Before spiritual. I have physical human beings that you can go and ask of my details. For me. How I grew. How I started operating in revelation. Where my revelations come from. The spirit by which I've operated. My history in ministry. But today we accept a prophet without knowing his source. And you is it confusion? No. It's your doing, not the Lord's doing. So find the person's spiritual history. There were some people that were excommunicated from fellowship. Some others were suspended because of fornication. And they left to start ministry. Yeah, you don't know. Me, in my own little practice of ministry, there are pastors that serve under me. Alright? One of my pastors went and committed adultery. So I called him. Say, you will not preach again for 6 months. These 6 months, come and join Bible school. Let me be watching you. After 6 months, I follow him. After 6 months, when we check your character, we know whether you are worthy to still witness for Jesus. And if that is true, we'll put you to another mission field far away from the first one that you have defied and insulted Jesus. The guy left. I heard he started a church. And he has members. Somebody that we are trying to restore from. That the nature that produced adultery is not Jesus. It's a foul nature. That humankind was sold under in the fall. Hallelujah. So, you see. Are you still with me? So he went, ran away, started one church and gathered some people. This is me, this small boy, my own small practice of ministry that is not long. I'm telling you my story. He gathered people. And they say that me, I'm a wicked man. Now somebody will now stay under him and think he's in church. Meanwhile, the headship that pastor is providing is a headship that is not recognized in heaven. The time his spiritual history stopped was when he was put under suspension. Everything he's doing there is suspension. The church is suspension. The members are in suspension. Everything is there. Why not research into people's history to find out where they are coming from? And if they have no history in the church, in the body of Christ, they are none of us. Just wake up and say somebody is somewhere uses charcoal and palm oil and he does something and then you are there. May the Lord deliver us. Hallelujah. Check the history. If the thing has manifested in time, there's a genealogy that can reveal it. And if you cannot trace a man to a man, you trace him to the devil. Beyond this, we'll need a theological presentation to tell you the differences between inspirations. That one is theological. It's a long story. You can use that to, by the time you bring two of those tools and test TB Joshua, he will even pass one of the tests. That's the theological one. He won't pass one of the tests. But this one, I'm just telling you what you can observe. What you can see, that's quicker. But the time will come when we need to do the theological aspect, so that some form of regulation can exist in the body of Christ, and all of us can be judged, because by people's consciences, to know that, yes, this call is genuine. Because Paul said, we commend ourselves to people's conscience. We allow ourselves to be judged by people, so that they can check if we are accurate. Alright? The Bible also. The Bible also said that they saw his star in the east. Does it mean that? Sorry, this question is, I don't know what this young man is saying. I hope he's a young man. In my own opinion, my message is very clear, but your question is confusing. So it's not from my lecture you got this question. What is the relationship between the olive branches and the golden pipes in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 11 and 14. 11 to 14. Zechariah chapter 4, verses 11 to 14. Doctor, help me. Let's look at it. Meanwhile, where is this one coming from? This question. Is it another Bible study question, or is it coming from my lecture? Olive branches. Don't mind the person. Yes. These ones are these the questions? All of the questions. In-house questions. Yes, sir. Even though this question is a trespass, it's not subject to the things we have taught. It's a by statement I made. You said if there's something wrong in your family, we should search within because there is a priesthood within. What if the person behind the priesthood is dead? You see, priesthood is an infrastructure that is set up in the natural realm to give legitimacy to spiritual influence, spiritual invasion. It secures a portal, an outlet, an opening for the spiritual realm to begin to colonize a physical people or a territory. That's what priesthood is. Now, in order for priesthood to find expression, we need one factor. That is this kind of family priesthood, this demonic priesthood. It's one factor that is required to entrench witchcraft in a family. One factor. Because you must understand that in witchcraft, a witch that is not from your family cannot kill anybody in your family. Now, if witches need to kill somebody in your family, they need to initiate somebody from your family to give them a link to your family. Now, witchcraft is an invasion of what we have in Christ. You will hear people like Joshua say, choose you this day whom you will serve, as for me and my house. The reason why Joshua can speak about his house is because of one principle called headship. Exactly? Headship. So in marriage, headship belongs to your husband, for instance. The wife is the administrator. The husband exercises headship. It is that platform that priesthood should arise from. Spiritual business is to configure and wire the family spiritually, and to bring priesthood into the family is one of the responsibilities of headship. So in a situation where a man's wife is more spiritual than him, there's a problem. The man is not fulfilling the responsibility for headship. Headship does not only confer provisional responsibility on the man. It also confers priesthood responsibility upon. In fact, that is the reason for the headship in the first place. That is the reason why he is the head. It's because he's supposed to be a head in priesthood, and he's supposed to be intimate with Christ to a point where he can understand the policy statements of Christ concerning the government and advancement of the family. I haven't said that. Witchcraft uses headship. It is the head of the family that sends the family out in the coven. And he uses the platform of headship as the basis of releasing the family to darkness by reason of covenants that he enters into. And those covenants were made with spirit. So even though he dies, the covenants are still binding. Unfortunately. Hallelujah. Now the solution is to raise another priesthood. When you raise another priesthood, the fact that you are in Christ Jesus will not exempt you from the influence of the previous priesthood. The fact that you are in Christ Jesus is that you have a legality to float another priesthood that will counteract the position of the first priesthood. You will notice that all the resources that God grants us initially as Christians are potentials. And you will have to work them out for them to become realities. Am I saying the truth? And he shall receive power. Power is an expression, is a realization. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The investment you will get, the investment of Holy Ghost. But power is an expectation in view of the potential. Are you with me? So it comes in potential form. It is up to you to take advantage of that potential and build it. That's how Christianity is. On the account of your salvation, Christ has provided the legality for your liberty. But you are going to function as a law enforcement agent in establishing this new legality as a system under which your life will be preserved and under which your life will be lived. And the way to do that is to begin a priesthood. When you begin to pray, just like I said, maybe one or two people in the family or even one person in the family, as long as you are related in blood to that family, you qualify to take advantage of that dominion by the Spirit of Christ. And as you begin to pray about it. It takes time anyway. But not too much time, but it takes some time. The reason why you are praying is so that you can receive a verdict from heaven. That's an utterance from heaven. You understand what I'm talking about? Hear God. God needs to speak about the matter to make it end in your life. He can speak through your spirit, in your spirit. He can speak through a minister of God in response to your prayers. But nonetheless, God must speak before a new order of things will be initiated. And once you discover that the new premise of legality by the sacrifice of Jesus has taken effect in your life, it means that you are now saddled with the responsibility to extend the deliverance to the rest of the family. I have a long story to tell you about this in my own family. A very long story. Because for me to break from the influence of those covenants in my own family, it took me 10 years of intercession. I know you don't like that number, but I'm here to tell you the truth. You might ask, will it take 10 years for all of us? I say, I don't know. It's only the Holy Ghost that knows. Even me, I didn't know it would take 10 years. But that was how much time it took. It is this year, after many, many years, that I went to preach. And my family members, the eldest in our family gave his life to Christ. People began to give their life to Christ after many years of praying. And then my uncle, the reason why he gave his life to Christ is because his deaf ear opened. And he said, you know God. He came and begged me that we should go back and destroy the altar in the village. I didn't tell him. He brought the suggestion. Meanwhile, we had destroyed that altar in the spirit. Now he said, let's go and do sanitation. I said, we have been waiting for this time. So maybe December this year, we'll go for sanitation. And all the people that they gave witchcraft will be casted out by the authority of headship. So it's easier to facilitate when headship is backing it up. You get it? I think I tried small. Meanwhile, these are things that if you leave it, your children will fight these battles. Yes, if you leave it, if you don't deal with it, it means you are not the one who is to come. So the generations will wait for another. Now, you want to do ministry, you have not dealt with things in your household. Those are the kind of pastors that end up fornicating eventually. Doing something that is contrary to Christ, that will destroy the name of Christ. Because they don't do their due diligence to ensure that the reality of what Jesus paid for is totally established and effected in their lives. You understand what I'm talking about? Ministry is not a game. No, it's not a game. There's power in the kingdom that we have been born into. And that power can undo every form of legality that is standing in the way of everything that God has spoken concerning you. I want to stop here at this point in time. What is the spiritual heritage of the people in Kaduna? I think preachers in Kaduna will help us with that. You should know the heritage of... This one is not my job now. I'm not in this territory. When I pray, I don't pray for you. I don't pray for you. You have Dr. T. You have Prophet Ezekiel. You have all... Those are the people that... I don't pray for you. I have a body that I'm not... I'm overwhelmed. So, you can't expect me to have insight about your territory for you. Even if I do, I won't tell you. But I can say as much as this, that Kaduna is the firstborn of the Lord in the north. The direction, the responsibility of winning over the north is committed to you people. The anointing that comes upon people here is not just Kaduna anointing. It's for the scope, for the visibility. What's the word again? It's for coverage, northern coverage, and northern reach. That's how far I can tell you. Maybe that's how far I know. Well, maybe before we leave, we'll talk about the heritage a little more. Somebody said, once saved, forever saved. Can you treat this topic? It's a total digression from the subject matter. And for your information, this is 7 days' work. It's 7 days' work to pull down the entire infrastructure and architecture of the hypergrace movement. It's 7 days' work. So let's leave that. Meanwhile, to help you quickly, if you think I'm escaping your question, where is the brother there? Technical. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 to 6, quickly. That is the prescription for apostasy. That's the prescription for apostasy. It's possible for somebody to lose his salvation.
Thank you for listening to this sermon. Hope you were blessed. For more of Apostle Aramis' sermon, visit rcnsermons.org. God bless you.